People think, as a money educator, I'm there to sort out their finances. But in reality, my job is about having authentic and sometimes very raw conversations about life and the impact money has on our choices. I'm Vanessa Stoykov, and in this podcast, we're going to follow six people opening up very real conversations about their lives and money at their high school reunion. We'll then take key lessons from my first book, The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings, and dive into their behaviour and how it affects their life choices. I'll be talking about the five powerful pillars of behaviour with some leading CEOs and finance heavyweights to open up the conversations we all should be having about money. And we'll be looking at what financial freedom looks like to six very different people and how the choices they make gets them the life they deserve. So forget about spreadsheets and budgets. This podcast is a story about people we all know. They live in every city and town, and some of them are exactly like you. The decisions they make about money are life-changing, and we'll have front row seats to see what happens. Join us on their story and learn how to build your own pathway to the future you want with money conversations that can radically change your life. Now, let's get down to business. It's a 20th anniversary high school reunion. The old high school halls are filled with people much older than the typical high school student. Walls are covered in posters from a time long gone. The Breakfast Club, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Degrassi Junior High. The clatter of leather shoes and high heels instead of flats and sneakers. The distant sound of 80s music thumps through the school as the DJ drops tunes in the auditorium. All familiar, all songs that graduating class knows and loves. With the doors now open, a group of excited people file in, greeting one another and shouting each other drinks. The old students are milling about, gossiping over who got fat and who remained married. There's a big active crowd tonight, but let's focus in on one small group of 40-somethings. First, a married couple.
It's me, Russ. And do you remember my wife?
Hi, Karen. Oh, I remember you. Yep, still married to this one.
That's what 17 years of marriage will do to you.
A newly single mum of two.
Hello. I'm Jane, if you didn't remember.
A perennial party boy.
Mate, it's me, Jasper. This takes me back to my footy days.
A stunning, well-dressed, professional woman.
Josie, that's right. Or Josephine. And thank you, it's Prada, spring season.
And the last, a distant and successful-looking man.
Brad, nice to see you again too. Yeah, I got in yesterday from the States. Probably head back on Monday.
These are the main characters of my book. It's a novel that helps you unlearn the habits that are holding you back from taking control of your finances. If you haven't read it, don't worry. We're taking the most important financial lessons from that book and talking about them with expert guests. All of these characters, and you, will learn that one of the biggest barriers to financial success are long-standing patterns that may need to be unlearned. Because the craziest thing is that these patterns limit not just our money situation, but the quality and direction of our life. They're a lot more powerful than you think. And this podcast is going to address just that, by looking at those five powerful pillars of money. Five pillars that everyone should be aware of. And it's these pillars that determine how comfortable you are, both now and later in life. Time, focus, belief, desire, and action. And for each of them, we've got to unlearn what we think we already know. In this inaugural episode, we're going to explore that first important pillar. Time. Time is all about what you value, because time is finite. And while it's easy to feel like time is everlasting when we're young, it's not long until we might feel there's more time behind us than ahead of us. So for the things that matter, we've got to make them a focus. We're going to start on our first characters in just a moment. Let's start with Karen and Russ Douglas. They're our classic high school sweethearts. Married for 17 years now, Karen has been stay-at-home mum to their three kids, and Russ earns over $200,000 in finance.
Dinner's ready!
Be ready straight after school, hey? So I can take you to netball practice?
Karen and Russ look successful, a picturesque family. But there's a lot going on behind that perfect picture. They've got a big mortgage with three kids in private schools. Paying for all their essentials is costing around $94,000 a year. On top of that, they've got credit card debt and very little in the way of savings. And Karen has realised in her 40s, she's only got $22,000 in her super. It's hardly the retirement plan you'd expect. Karen needs to take a good look at our first powerful pillar of finance, time. While she's meticulously managing the family finances, there's a harsh reality looming over them. They can't even afford to lose a month's wages. And that's assuming that nothing rocks the status quo.
Karen, honey, I'm thinking about a career change. What do you think?
Really?
Really?
And she's noticed that it's been quite some time since she's felt confident to make money of her own. Karen and Russ are the couple that everyone knew would get married, you know, after school, and they've made good and they're very good parents. But Karen really has come to a point in her 40s where she's a little bit fed up of putting everyone else first. And she's also worried, stepping out of work and not earning super, that she's actually going to have a retirement that's not quite what she would hope for. Which is why I've brought in a special guest today who's a friend of mine and a longtime leading advocate for women, including being the ex-CEO of the Financial Services Council, Sally Loan. Sal's had an incredible career over journalism and finance and a whole bunch of other things. But one thing I've always loved about you is that you're very open in talking about a man isn't a plan. So welcome. Thank you for being you and thanks for coming. But, you know, Karen's not alone in this scenario, is she?
She sure isn't. And thanks, Vanessa. It's great to be here to talk about this issue of women who find themselves in a great marriage. They've got kids. Their life has gone to plan, except for that bit about the future, except for that bit about saving enough in superannuation to think about their career. I've had a lot of friends in this situation. We all know lots and lots of women in this situation where they hit a certain age and think, oh my goodness, can I get back in the workforce? Have I got the skills? And a lot of people actually suffer from lack of confidence around this. And then they look at their super balance and they realise that it's really, really meagre. And they really then start to worry about, well, how is this going to last me for the rest of my life? Because you don't know what's in the future. And most people would hope that their marriages would survive, but one in three marriages don't. So to be realistic, I think women need to think about financial independence. From the first job you ever get paid for, you really need to think about super and putting money aside for your future. And that's the one lesson that I didn't learn till I was a lot older.
Like all of us, Karen needs to have a backup plan to prepare for her own future as well as her family's. The future brings uncertainty and even good relationships are at risk from unexpected life emergencies. And it's easy for parents to fall into that familiar trap, putting the family before yourself. But how much time needs to pass before our own needs get considered? Do you find at this time, I mean, your kids are in their late 20s now, mine are in late teens, do you find this is easier, this part of your life? Because I think this periods of your life you go through that are just hard. When you have small kids, just hard work.
I think that's the hardest period women will ever have to go through, and every woman's going to go through it. Or you make the sacrifice to stay at home and go on to what we used to call the mummy track, and that is a sacrifice.
Fortunately for Karen, she was 40-something when she started to figure all this out, but she racked up $28,000 on the credit card as well. So the pressure in that family is that if he stops working for even a month, their cash flow doesn't work anymore. So she's under a lot of pressure as the person managing the household finances.
I think that's a really familiar scenario to a lot of people. You have children, you want to give them the best. You're probably stretching yourself enormously to give them the best, whether that's, you know, good education, you know, family holidays, all of those things. I mean, our family holiday was getting in the back of the Holden and driving to the beach and for a week, and that was it. But these days, you know, families expect more than that. Many of us have been in the situation where we've had multiple credit cards and they have been juggled and maxed out, and you do depend on that salary coming in from week to week. A lot of people in middle class, well-off Australia are probably living a little bit closer to the edge than what people think.
Yeah, but you know what? Back in the day for us, like, there weren't really people out there telling you about that, were there? This generation, I mean, there's apps on your phone for your super, there's apps to invest. It's so easy to access now that it's a message I think we can get through to young women because they can access how it works.
It is getting through. There are lots and lots and lots of new apps, lots of podcasts, lots of people willing to give advice to young women in particular about finances. And I grew up in a country family and debt was just a bad word. You didn't have a credit card. If you wanted something, you saved for it and you paid for it in full. I think a lot of people grew up in that era. My children are very different. They've grown up with different parents in a different era and they're much more entrepreneurial and they think much more about their money than I ever did. And you talk about unlearning. You can still unlearn it at 40, but if you unlearn it at 20, that's even better.
Unlearning is difficult. It means putting yourself under the microscope and seeing what you know and what you think you know. Finding out which pillars are helping and which are getting in our way. And the sooner you do it, the better, because time is always ticking. There's a lot to learn. I talk a lot about the concept of accountability. No matter how old you are, woman or man, you owe it to yourself to understand your finances and where they're going.
You should always understand what's going on in the family finances, particularly if you've got a self-managed super fund together or investments. You really should understand what's going on, at least on a cursory level, and then book yourselves in to see a financial advisor once a year to get that overview, that refresh of where everything is.
There's still a long way to go for people who've still got mortgages to pay off, even once their kids are grown up. You would hope Karen's parents are going to leave their house on the coast to them.
You can't always rely on that.
They can live till 100. Right?
Well, exactly. And they do.
Yeah.
You know, people often do. My father's 92 and still living independently. And a lot of my friends have still got their parents hale and hearty in their 80s and 90s. Mm. So it's not like the old days when everyone dropped off a twig at, you know, 50 and 60.
No, and like by 70, that was it. So
exactly.
It is true. You cannot count on that. And I talk a lot about inheritance.
Yeah.
I think the thing I love most about Karen is that she finally realises you got to do it yourself. You've got to take the reins. Growing up in Gunnedah, I realised pretty quickly there was going to be no man that was going to pay for the life I wanted.
As you say, a man is not a financial plan, and neither are parents an inheritance plan for those reasons. Your parents might sell the house and go and spend the kids' inheritance, go off and have a great life, and you don't get anything from that.
We need to plan our future, and specifically, we need a plan B, because the unexpected always crops up. We know it. Karen never expected to work again, but with the kids becoming more independent, she's got time and space in her life. And the new understanding of her financial state means she wants to do something more for her future and her family's. I mean, we talk a lot about time with her because she's left her time a bit late, but you have to do something.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, it's really good to do
make
something.
The decision. To
that's
do
right.
Something. Whether it's earn more, invest more, or put more in super, or get a side hustle.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can do now to bring extra cash. Don't just sit on your hands and feel quiet dread.
No, I think just focus on those small steps to make that change, to think about your super, think about your finance from the very first time you earn money for a job and you can put away a bit of that money. I can remember my very first pay slip and I spent most of that in the desire category. That was not my smartest move, but I remember very, very clearly thinking this is just going to happen the one time.
Yeah, of course.
That's all very well, but you've got to make sure you live to that. And I didn't do that other thing where I put money aside and I didn't even think about super until it became
compulsory
in 1992. And then I resented it because I thought, well, what am I doing this for? You know,
did you?
I did. I was about to have my first child. I thought I needed that 3%. Back then it was 3% of your salary. I can do much better with that 3% than this thing called superannuation.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, I hadn't really thought about compound interest, the eighth wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only in more recent decades that I've come to understand that.
The power of time.
The power of time. Mm. It all goes back to hindsight and thinking, I would be so much better off if I'd known things at a younger age and made deliberate choices about where I put my money. And
but that's why
I
love that you're doing it now. Like, you're still there talking to people and saying it can be so much easier for you than it was for us. It can be easier for Karen too. But beyond the anxiety of facing our harsh reality, there's something really special going on here. The awareness of where you are. And from there, we can plan out where we're going. Now that we know where Karen and Russ are in the present, what does this mean for their future? And what do they do with the time they've got left?
I do think it gets easier the older you get and your kids grow up and they become great, fantastic, independent people. And you can start thinking more about what you want.
Mm.
I wrote a book called Who Cares? Guilt, Hope and the Childcare Debate. Some people are never going to get over the guilt. I wrote it when my children were toddlers, really tiny little things, and I was working and writing this book. And looking back on it now, my children are in their late 20s and really well adjusted. And I think they liked the fact that they had a mother who was working.
Mm.
I think they liked the fact that I was independent. I don't think they were harmed in any way, shape or form. I hope not.
I mean, motherhood and guilt are two very, yeah, very close terms.
They are.
Karen put everything into making sure her children had more, certainly more than Russ had. We all want that, don't we, to want, yeah, better for our kids. She's reinventing herself in, yeah, her 40s. A lot of my girlfriends are doing that now because all our kids are growing up.
Are they retraining? Is that
part, yeah, of it? or launching little businesses, I found, more than anything, okay, not retraining, but launching like a styling business, or, you know, they've all done amazing houses, amazing dinners. They're all people who are very accomplished, and now they're trying to turn that into giving that to other people who are too busy to do it.
And she's got all the right motivations, and it's really nice when she tells the kids that she's going to do this venture and they're all really supportive because their lives will change. We're all aspirational. We all want more. But at some point in your life, you've got to kind of reach a state where you're not quite as unhappy with whatever you end up with. And that's a bit philosophical. But if you put all the steps in place, particularly around super and having your finances right, then you can kind of relax.
Karen's getting support to take that huge step of starting a business, but it takes more than just some helping hands. A committed team, the right advice and planning is needed.
Yes, hello. We're here for an 11:30 appointment with Ben.
Yeah, it should be under Douglas. Karen and Russ Douglas, yeah.
They go to a financial advisor together. And that was a really pivotal thing for them, a bit of a wake-up call to both of them, really, that they both had a responsibility to make it work and it wasn't just Russ on the money and Karen on everything else.
I think that's really very, very interesting because there are, as I said, a lot of tax advantages to being a couple in all sorts of contracts and property and all sorts of things and superannuation and SMSFs, etc. Only a financial advisor will be able to explain the technicalities of that to a couple. It's part of that whole suite of counsellors that you can avail yourself for as a couple, like marriage, like coaching, all sorts of things, having tennis lessons together, whatever it is. I think it's fantastic. I can see how it would be really excellent to do that. If you trust each other, the relationship's very strong and you want to make it work financially for you. Look, it's horses for courses. There might be some people out there who think, no, I'd rather just keep mine separate. So many things now available to young women in particular. There's a lot of knowledge out there and a lot of access to that knowledge. I think it will improve for the next generation.
And while it's a huge step that Karen's getting financial advice, the family situation is still uncertain because Russ is in a job he doesn't want to stay in. And you might remember from earlier he was exploring the possibility of finding new employment. But since meeting with their advisor, Russ decided he's going to stay at his job while Karen gets her business up and running. Because this time, it's Karen who needs his support. What do you think about the concept of Karen starting the business and Russ staying in a job he didn't like and then waiting to do the job he did like? Do you think a lot of husbands are going to get on board like Russ did and help?
It's rare. But where you've got really good trust in a relationship, in a marriage, and you support each other at different times of your life, I think that's fantastic. And maybe that's something that young couples should think about. I've got my nieces now starting to get married, and I'm hoping they're going to have those conversations with their husbands and fiancés. Because you're right, it should always be that give and take, that skipping rope of life, but it doesn't always end up like that for everybody.
I have had a husband who we worked together since we got together and had kids, and he has come in and out of the workforce to support my job. And I know I wouldn't have been able to build a business
without that and have three children. I mean, I tell him I could have done it anyway. He's like, thanks. But not with three boys. So
exactly.
I do think it's a give and take.
Along the way, I think we get help through life with a lot of things. We have mentors, we have coaches, marriage counselling, financial counselling. They're all people who can help us actually navigate this great journey. Russ is helping Karen. I think it's extraordinary. And they will have a much richer relationship and hopefully a long-standing one. Because one of the biggest dangers financially for couples who separate and divorce is that you do have to split your entire... That's it. And you start again with half of what you...
At twice your age.
Yeah, correct.
That's the problem, isn't it? You're older but have less. It's also risky to stay in a situation you've gotten comfortable in. Karen and Russ have been a team for a long time, and they'll continue to be. With the right plan, the right advice, and a better understanding of how to use their precious time, things are looking up for Karen and Russ. If you want to know more about how it ended up for them, you can read my book, The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings.
Getting Russ on board was so important. I wouldn't be working and having him step up more with the kids unless he was fully supportive. In fact, getting the whole family on board and having conversations with our financial advisor really brought it to life for me. I realise now I need to communicate more to be successful when it comes to money and how I contribute.
To say I was surprised that Karen wanted to work was an understatement. I always just assumed she wouldn't want to. And getting our financial advisor's perspective was great. I can do my job for a few more years, knowing Karen's income can free me to do something I'm more passionate about, with less hours away from home. The conversations that got us there were invaluable.
We've started getting real about money, but we're only just scratching the surface. Tune in to the rest of this podcast series for more insights on how those five powerful pillars can help us unlearn what we think we know about money. Because money is sexy, but finance is boring. Jump on to VanessaStoykov.com to find me and all the resources you need to experience your own financial flashpoints, moments of realization about the changes you want to make. You can also find my latest book, The Five Conversations About Money to Radically Change Your Life, and start applying the lessons learned by our characters to your own life today. I'm Vanessa Stoykov. Let's talk again soon.